Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're kindly joined once more by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for joining the podcast today.
Morning, Jonathan. Good to be back.
So, Alan, we've got three equities that we're going to be discussing later on in the podcast as usual. But to get started, it would be appropriate, looking at the headlines out there, to discuss and touch on the latest inflation data from the ONS. So it's a topic that we've been discussing in some detail on the podcast between us this year. Most of that has been directed towards the US, and of course there was some volatility in equity markets in the United States, which did actually cause a wave through equity markets globally. But that has since quietened down after comments from the Federal Reserve that they were not going to be changing their monetary policy anytime soon. So now we shift to the UK. We've seen a steadily increasing CPI rate this year, but today is actually the first time that we have a reading above the Bank of England target of 2%. The reading was 2.1%. The immediate reaction in markets, if you look at the FTSE 100, fairly tepid, up a small amount. The pound did jump about 40 points to 1.12 against the dollar before falling back. So not a huge amount of movement there in markets, Alan. But I mean, if we start to see more readings above 2%, the Bank of England target, and possibly an increase, I mean, do you expect there to be volatility creeping into, first of all, equity markets here in the UK?
Well, yes, absolutely. I think if we get to readings above the Bank of England's target, then some action will need to be taken, because it will trigger an overall increase in prices, putting pressure on homeowners and a public starting to get back to normal, starting to sort of feel that perhaps with the end of the lockdown, we might just be on the way out of this. So the last thing the Bank of England will want to see is any pressure on consumer spending. And of course, this the number this month was very much driven by an increase in fuel prices, which of course has correspondingly driven the prices of the oil giants and the oil companies. So if action is taken, then of course the brakes will be put on any further increases in those companies for now. Although, as we're going to discuss with BP, some of the majors are now really heavily engaged in their diversification into new forms of energy. So it might not have the impact that it would have had a few years ago.
So just before we move on to discuss fuel and then BP, there has been, of course, comments around the Bank of England and what their potential moves will be. They did say back in May that if we see a rate above, an inflation rate above 2% persistently, they would be forced to act. I mean, this would probably mean some form of interest rate hikes. I mean, do you think that we're ready for that in the economy, Alan? And are stocks ready for an interest rate hike?
No, I don't think we are. And I think, again, it's the last thing the Bank of England will want to do, given that as we come out of lockdown and furlough schemes end, some companies sadly won't survive the fallout from the pandemic. So those companies and of course their employees will be in trouble, and obviously any increase in interest rates will only put further pressure on those homes and families. So I think they will avoid putting interest rates up at all costs. They may they may seek to impose a further tariff on oil sales from the oil majors. I think all sorts of options will be under consideration in that regard, because of course with the furlough scheme and the unprecedented spending and corresponding debt that has created, Rishi Sunak is going to be under huge pressure to recoup that money. I don't think I have any qualms about slapping further tariffs on oil prices or oil sales in the UK going forward.
So, of course, I mentioned oil. I mean, one of the biggest components of inflation and the reason why we're seeing this tick up was fuel prices. Mm. Year on year, there's been a 17.9% increase on fuel. That's the highest jump since 2017. Now, of course, that's been driven by an oil price, which was at one point last year trading negatively. We're now trading above $72 on benchmark oil. That has helped oil majors, Alan, in particular BP. That's one that we're going to touch on today. They were at their lowest point last year, back in October, trading just beneath £2, down at £1.96. Currently trading at £3.32, looking here on the chart. So what do you think has been driving this in the short term, Alan? And do you think this move to the upside can continue in BP?
Well, I think, as I mentioned just now, what we're seeing with the oil majors, and this is BP and Shell, but I think particularly BP, because it really threw a marker down last year. The company said this time last year, when of course we were in the middle of the pandemic, or the chief executive Bernard Looney introduced a strategy to reinvent BP in line with a global transition to low carbon energy. And of course, at that point, we're in the middle of the pandemic. But he set the stall out and said within 10 years, the company aimed to have its annual low carbon investment, it aimed to increase its annual low carbon investment tenfold to around $5 billion a year, and investing into an integrated portfolio of low carbon technologies, including renewables, bioenergy, hydrogen, and other new technologies. And by 2030, BP aims to develop around 50 gigawatts of net renewable generating capacity, 20 times higher than last year. Also, at the same time, it will have shrunk its oil and gas production by 40% compared to where we are now. And all the indications are, certainly from the first quarter results in the year, that is actually delivering a progress. The CEO Bernard Looney again said the first quarter of 2021 demonstrates what we mean by performing while transforming, which I think is a great soundbite, you know, for CEOs to take note from. So that they BP of course reported a profit for the first quarter of $4.7 billion, compared with $1.4 billion for the fourth quarter of 2020. Operating cash flow underpinned by strong business performance. The company achieved its net debt target. That's reducing its net debt down to $33 billion by the end of the quarter. The transformation that they announced last year is not only well underway, it's actually ahead of the game. And that's why if we look at the share price, we've seen such an incredibly strong performance from the group since the start of the year. I'm just trying to find that screen now. So fourth quarter last year, the shares in October were trading under £2 at £1.88, and of course they've shot up since that time, and they're now trading at £3.32. If you look at the 3-year chart, it's still a long way off the highs of 2018, 2019, which of course up at nearly £6 a share at one stage. But nonetheless, it's a really strong turnaround. So investors speculating last year at under £2 will have done very well indeed, particularly as the company delivers a dividend yield annually of 6%. So going forward, can BP continue this? On current evidence, yeah, I think it can. I mean, it's fast moving into renewable energy. It's seeing revenues from that, and I think that was the big challenge for investors to take on board last year. It's all very well setting out your strategy and your stall, but can you actually get out there and deliver the results financially? Let's not forget, of course, that the results are supported by a strong oil price. So if the Chancellor does decide to slap any further tariffs on oil sales in the UK or petroleum sales, then, of course, that would have an impact. But, of course, as BP is clearly undergoing a rapid transition into renewable energy now, it won't have the impact that perhaps it might have done 2 to 3 years ago.
Fantastic, fantastic. So you've mentioned there, Alan, the impact of cleaner energy. Now, this is a topic that, of course, has been one that's really been at the forefront of investors' minds over the past 18 months as ESG's grown in popularity. We've had a number of asset managers coming out and saying that they're going to be winding down investments in fossil fuels. I mean, this push towards green energy, when we're looking at BP, is this something that they are in line with in terms of their business model, or is it one that you can see them sort of lagging behind the general trend in the rest of the industry, because they have so much in the way of fossil fuel assets at the moment that it's so difficult for them to shift and pivot towards clean energy, that yes, they're making moves towards having a lower carbon mix of energy production, but it's just simply not possible for them to be as quick, as nimble as maybe the industry is demanding at the moment.
You're absolutely right, John. I mean, this is a super tanker of a stock. It's a huge company, and metaphorically and literally turning this company around, it's like turning the world's largest super tanker around in the English Channel. You know, it's a challenge. But they are pushing ahead with this. I mean, 1st of June they invested $220 million into solar projects in the USA. So it's full steam ahead for them. They're shifting their revenue streams rapidly. And they stated last year that by 2030, that they would have reduced their reliance on oil and gas production by 40%. So that's pretty big. But I imagine that that's probably something of a conservative estimate. And given the progress they've already made, we may well see them deliver that target or exceed that target, possibly as much as a year earlier. But of course, that's speculation on my part. But nonetheless, I think BP's strategy is working. We're seeing the improvement in the share price reflect that. Clearly, if there is a shift in the oil price again, then that will have an impact. But as the vaccinations are being rolled out, and there is every sign that with a 4-week additional lockdown, after that we should be able to more or less get back to normal, and that's of course globally, not just in the UK, then consumption will increase. And of course, there's an awful lot of catching up to do as well, so I think consumption will remain high, and I can't really see any reduction in the oil price for the foreseeable future. And that, of course, will filter down into the lower echelons of the FTSE, to the mid cap producers, all the way down to the smaller micro cap oil and gas explorers.
Indeed. And if there's any weight towards recent price targets from Barclays that have a £4.75 price target for BP, there could well be further upside for shares from this point forward. So definitely an interesting stock to be watching, as always, with BP. So let's move on now, Alan. So this is a company that I'd say is probably one of the biggest UK listed technology successes of the last 5 years. It's one that we've touched on the podcast previously. It's Blue Prism, involved in automation and robotics. What's the latest update from them? What's been happening there, Alan?
Okay, yeah. So we have spoke. We've spoken about this company a few times. I think last year, in fact, John. So, I've kept my eye on this company for a long time, and as you'll see on the share price, I mean, we are currently trading at year lows, and as often happens with technology companies that have a groundbreaking offering, the price earnings ratio is often very racy, and the company trades on great expectations, is probably the best way of summing it up. And certainly for Blue Prism, some of the gloss has come off that in the first quarter of 2021. But as you rightly say, John, they are one of the biggest companies, UK technology companies, engaged in RPA, robotic process automation, with the emphasis, of course, on AI, artificial intelligence, and cognitive abilities from their digital autonomous software robots that they utilize. So practically, what it means, or what their processes mean, is that they will go to, I mean, clients such as Waitrose and Arla Foods, for instance, and they will automate the process of buying and selling and engaging with customers. They were very successful last year, of course, when in the middle of the pandemic, when everyone was applying for CBILS loans. They were very much involved in automating that the loan application process, and a lot of people that apply for loans found the money came through very quickly, and that was largely down to the automation that was underlying the application process, because of course an awful lot of checks and balances had to be executed very quickly indeed. So the company has undergone a bit of a transition over the past 6 months. We had a strong trading update in November last year with a strong full year performance. And when the numbers came out in January, the company again proved point. Revenues up 46% to 141 million. Customers up 21% over the previous year to just over 2,000. They'd already booked future revenues of 312 million, and they ended the year with cash of 137 million, up from 74 million previously. And new customers included the US Department of Veteran Affairs, Bristol Myers Squibb, Huawei, the Chinese telecoms company, Thames Valley Police, Nomura, Fremantle Media, the Federal Aviation Administration, to name but a few. In addition, they upsold 38 of their top 50 customers and saw a gross retention rate of 98%. Those are fantastic numbers by any standards. So it's a bit of a mystery that we've seen the share price fall. And I think at these levels, investors have got to take a close look at this company and get involved again. There was a shift in at the top last year. Jason Kingdon came in to take over from from Alistair Bathgate, who was the co-founder. He stepped down after 18 years. Jason Kingdon took over. We had a trading update from the company about 3 weeks ago. First half bookings up 98% and also up 35% from last year. The closing cash position of 126 million, and also their recent launch of the Blue Prism cloud offering now represents 22% of all new bookings, and that's an increase of 65% on the previous year. So a definite strong move by the group into cloud. And the company said that full year revenues are expected to be at the lower end of the guidance provided at the start of the year, between 170 and 180 million, primarily due to an FX impact of just 2 million. And to my mind, looking at what the group have achieved and the steady cash flow, I believe more than anything else, that the sell-off is down to the departure of the co-founder Alistair Bathgate and uncertainty over the group going forward. And of course, Jason Kingdon has basically taken on the business. The numbers are very strong, so I believe this company is due a very strong re-rating at some point, given that we're now trading at multi-year lows. So it's worth taking a look at the company. It's got a very good website where it explains the RPA process and the different processes they're engaged in. And I don't think you'll get a better opportunity to pick the stock up than at the levels it's at right now.
So of course, Blue Prism, it's a technology share. Now, technology shares, particularly in the United States, are renowned for not conforming to historical valuation methods. I mean, if you look at the likes of Amazon and Apple, Facebook, Netflix, for years they were trading at very high multiples. You know, sometimes into the hundreds. If you're looking at the bottom line earnings. And to some extent, that is applicable to UK stocks. If you look at Blue Prism, Just Eat is another one, for example, that we've touched on the podcast previously. Ocado could probably be put into that basket as well. But I'm just looking here, Alan, and they're only trading at this point in time and on 6x the revenue for the full year of 2020. They didn't turn a profit last year. Loss after tax was 80 million.
Yeah.
But how much do you think that this decline that we saw and have seen so far this year, it is down to this shift in investor appetite for growth towards value? It's something we have discussed on the podcast in some detail. Mm. That these stocks that are really racing ahead on the growth figures, obviously those ones did very well from COVID and, had, strong figures. We started to see underperform those ones classed as value. Maybe those ones such as BP, commodity shares and airlines that were really down in the dumps. I mean, how much do you think that this move in Blue Prism's down to that shift from growth shares to value? And then that's really driven some of the underperformance we've seen.
I think that is a factor. And it's quite interesting reading a broker note recently from Canaccord that upgraded the stock from hold to speculative buy. Blue Prism is trading on a value to sales multiple of 4.5 against a sector average of 5.5. So it is substantially undervalued relative to peers. But Canaccord also said that it prioritised sales over profits. So that's possibly it's most certainly a key factor in the mix. So the company has really aggressively driven its growth in sales, which is fantastic. We've seen that increase in clients now. Which are up 35% from last year, with the client numbers of up 21% to just over 2,000 versus 1,600 odd last year. So lots of customers. What the company's now got to do is focus on streamlining its processes and cutting costs, so it can then turn those customers into profits. And I think if it can demonstrate it's doing that, it has stated it is looking to fine tune its processes going forward. I think once we start to do that, then we will see the stock move back. But as I said earlier, I believe as much as anything else, the fact that the co-founder Alistair Bathgate stepped down after 18 years at the helm driving the firm, that's a key factor. And Jason Kingdon, as CEO, is probably yet to earn his stripes, as it were. So I think he's got to. He's the one that's got to deliver that change, and I think if he does that, then we will see the stock return to the highs that we've seen over previous years.
And one I'm sure that we will touch on the podcast again when we have a further update from them. So moving on now, Alan, to our final stock of the day. Very different company in Carillion Diamonds. A number of projects they're working on in the development stages at the moment. Alan, what do they look like?
Okay, so Carillion Diamonds, interesting little company. This is a company that's run by the same team as Conroy Gold, which is, of course, Professor Richard Conroy, and the team around him that he's worked with since inception, really, with his secretary Maureen, who's also a director on the company as well. But this is a diamond exploration development company focused on Finland. Shares are currently trading at just on 4p. Not much movement today. Against year highs of 7p and year lows of 2p, giving a market cap of just 2.7 million. So there's that's really just the value of the licenses the company owns, without any upside really for what's in the ground. So the company's focus in Finland. There's some very good maps on the website, and they are focused on what is referred to in geological terms as a craton. It's called the Karelian Craton, hence the name of the company, which straddles Finland and Russia, and it's a huge area that's full of what are referred to as kimberlite rocks, and these are igneous rocks that often contain diamonds, named after Kimberley, a South African town where a massive carat, 83 carat diamond was discovered in the 19th century, and it triggered a diamond rush. So this rock frequently occurs across these areas. In Russia, there are two diamond discoverers which are world class within the craton. Both the Lomonosov and the Grib Pipe diamond discoveries. They're very similar to the geology in Finland covered by the Karelian license areas. And indeed, we've got the Lahtijoki diamond deposit, which is northeast of Helsinki. It's making rapid progress. And once it's up and running, will be the first diamond mine in Europe outside of Russia, which is quite something. Preliminary economic assessments have been completed with positive technical and financial outcomes. Mining permit has been received, and certainly to date, with the work that's been done there, there are estimated to be 2.11 million of carats in the ground with a value of $211 million at the present time. The mine that will be set up there will have something like a 9-year life and a payback in year two. As it sits at the moment, the PEA, preliminary economic assessment, estimates a net present value at the mine of $39 million. So that's obviously well ahead of where we are with the company valuation. In addition, so that's northeast, as I say, of Helsinki. In eastern Finland, close to the Russian border, remembering we've got these two Russian mines, that the world-class diamond discoveries, there's an asset called Kumo, where green diamonds have been discovered there. And green diamonds are the same as normal diamonds, except due to radiation or exposure to radiation during the formation or the geological formation process, they take on a greenish hue within the diamond. These are very valuable and also very rare as well. So we have the Kumo asset, they discovered a series of anomalies, a previously unknown kimberlite body in that area. And also within Kumo, there are several other bodies, Rhea Vera and Setapira, which are all prospective for diamonds. Progress so far this year. The company raised last month $600,000, in that raising, a convertible loan was converted into shares at 4.5p. So the company is well funded for its costs, certainly for the foreseeable future. And in regard to the progress of the company, there was a broker note from Brandon Hill, which noted potential for further discoveries and cited the discovery at Kumo as an emerging kimberlite province, which could lead to huge value for the groups a bit further down the road. So that's really where we are to date. And again, this will depend on investors' appetite for diamond stocks. But given that there are discoveries just across the border in Russia within this Karelian crate and the geological anomaly, I think at this level with a 2.7 million market cap, if you want to speculate on a stock that has some really valuable diamond assets. And as I say, remember the Latajoki deposit has a net present value of $39 million. I think this could be a great little opportunity.
So when people are looking at this stock and just keeping an eye maybe on the share price moving backwards and forwards, Alan, I mean, in your view, what should they be looking out from the company in terms of the next installment of news, which is, could get the share price moving?
Well, there's a team on the ground there now, and of course the preliminary economic assessment that completed for Latajoki, I think any developments at Latajoki now towards seeking a partner for to build a mine there or further developments and of course further diamond discoveries in the Kumo asset, which is, as the broker said, is a potentially emerging diamond province. I think we're going to hear more news from the group because they're there on the ground at the moment. So we will see, I believe, some updates certainly in the next few weeks.
And I'm sure one that we will update listeners on when we get those. So as a recap there, stocks we discussed today, BP, of course, trades under the ticker of VP. Blue Prism has a ticker of PRSM, and just then was Karelian Diamond, which trades under the ticker of KDR. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, John.
So just as a note to listeners, we're going to be putting some links in the notes of this podcast to some of our recent presentations from virtual conferences here at the UK, which do actually cover a number of resource companies very in similar situations to the one that we've just discussed there. So do check those out. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.